I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the 10th chapter, and we will read from verse 1 through 11. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate but climbs over the wall is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Wherever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life, and indeed, so they could have life and live it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You know, if anyone came into my house and looked at my personal library, they would probably walk out shaking their head and scratching their head, wondering where on earth I stood and what I actually believed. You see, I'm an eclectic reader. I like to read things on all sides of an issue or a discussion or an argument. And sometimes what I read makes me so angry I would like to throw the book clear across the room, find the author, and ask just what on earth they were thinking. I mean, how could they possibly believe what they had written down? So, why do I do it? Why is it that I will read things that I know are going to make me angry? I read things that I know I disagree with, but I do it anyway. It's because, well, to be honest with you, sometimes I learn the most from people I disagree with the most. When I really sit down and listen to what they're saying, it makes me stop and reflect on what I honestly believe and why I believe it. And what I have learned is that the truth normally doesn't reside on either side. The truth is normally somewhere in the middle. And the only way we're going to find that middle is if we stop and we listen to one another. I mean, really, really listen. Not to judge and to argue, but to learn. One author that I have a real love-hate relationship is a man called Brian McLaren. He's a theologian and he's also a futurist. Sometimes he makes me really angry. Sometimes he just confuses me. But the one thing that I really like about him is his openness and honesty. In one of his latest books, he recalls a time when he was young. His parents were very, very conservative evangelicals. And he remembers when he was about 8 years old, they went to church one Sunday evening, as they always did. But this time, the pastor had all kinds of charts and graphs in the front of the church, and he spent quite a bit of time going over them. It was his idea of when the rapture was going to come, and it was going to come immediately. McLaren said that as the man talked, he He talked about this angry, vengeful God who was so full of wrath that none of them could survive. A few days later, McClure said he came home and the front door of the house was unlocked. He walked in and the house was empty. His mother and his sister were nowhere to be found. He went all the way through calling, and the longer he called, the more anxious he became, and finally he became just scared. And when his mother finally found him, he was sitting on the back steps of their house. He was hysterical. He was shaking. You see, he thought that they had been raptured, that his sister was better than him because that morning they'd gotten into a fight. And he was the one who picked it. He was so frightened. He said that he spent the next years of his life afraid of God. His mother tried to explain that they had only gone next door and had lost track of time, but all he remembered was being alone and having been told that someday that God was going to get him. Now, we all know that the truth is, one day we'll stand before the judgment seat of God. We're going to be held accountable for everything we did in this life. But that accountability, that judgment, it won't happen with a wrathful God. A God who wants to get us. It will happen before the throne of a God who's filled with mercy, grace, and forgiveness. It will be filled with a God who refuses to give up on us even when we are at our worst. Now, in today's scripture, we meet that God in the person of Christ. Jesus had been preaching to the crowds, and the crowds had been growing, and we know that as he looked out on those crowds, what he saw were sinners and misfits. We know that he often reached out to those that others thought were unclean. But on this particular day, he looked at the crowd and he had compassion and he had love. And he said, "I am the good shepherd. I am your shepherd. I will search for you when you're lost, and I will carry you home when I find you." McClure left the church as a young adult because he didn't know that Jesus. He didn't know that God. And he spent years searching. And when he found him, he was amazed. For the first time since he was an 8-year-old boy, he felt loved. He felt as though God really cared. In his book, The God We Can Know, Reverend Rob Fuqua says, I quote, "Deep inside of every human heart is a desire to be loved. We want to know we matter and that somebody genuinely cares about us. Jesus said, 'I am the good shepherd.' In other words, we matter to him. But we not only matter, we're loved by him. And it's a love that never gives up on us, a love that continues to believe in us even when we can't believe in ourselves. We can never be so lost that he cannot and he will not come and find us. And when he does, when he finds us on whatever cliff we're ready to fall off of, when he finds us surrounded by whatever problem is consuming our lives, he'll reach out. He'll call to us. He'll speak to us softly. And he'll invite us to take his hand. And when we do, he will pull us back to safety. He is the good shepherd, and he will always come to find us. And yes, he knows that sometimes that decision to take his hand is not always easy, because we're surrounded by thieves and bandits, by people who have ideas and give us promises that pretend to have our best interest at heart. You know, and the things they tell us, they are so great, they are so magnificent. While we may be okay the way we are, if only we listened to them, our lives could be so much better. We could be happy, our families would love us more. If only we had a little more money, a few more things, a better body, the right friends, living in the correct neighborhood, maybe. And those voices sound good. But the truth is, what they offer us will never satisfy us. Because there's always going to be something newer, something bigger, something better, someone more powerful, more popular. They can offer us all they want, but it will never, ever satisfy. In going after those things, we will simply wander farther from the ways of the one who said, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." The life he offers us is not built on possessions and personal success, but on the foundation of love for God and the love for others. And when we listen to his voice, when we follow the example he gives us, we will finally come to know the one who, in Reverend Fuqua's words, quote, "has our best interest at heart, who is always looking after us, and who will stand between us and our worries. All we need to do is focus on him." You know, friends, there are so many competing voices in this world, and all of them are promising us things that will make us better. They're offering us more than we may ever even thought of wanting. What they don't tell us, however, is that in following after those things, in making them our goal, we will lose our very souls. But when we turn our attention toward Jesus, when we focus on his voice and his ways, when we trust him and not things to provide us what we need, not necessarily what we want, we may lose what the world has to offer, but we will gain a sense of peace, a sense of direction, a sense of hope that only he can provide. He said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the one we can know. This is the one we can trust. May it be so now and forevermore. He is the Good Shepherd. To God be the glory. And all God's people say, Amen.